Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I invite you to turn with me this morning to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40. Right under the title, there is a heading that says, A Psalm of David. It says, To the chief musician, a psalm of David. David is the one who penned this psalm. David felt what he was writing. David meant every word of this. And so do all of God's people. David's words are our words. But let's not forget that David penned this under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 say this, Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Every bit of that was said by the Holy Spirit of God Almighty. These are the words of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 40, verse 7 says, Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. This book wasn't written about David. The volume of this book is not about David. Our Lord said, Moses wrote of me. Over in Luke 24, our Lord met two men on the road to Emmaus. And in verse 25, he said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Psalm 40 is going to tell us something about Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read these words, let's listen to him saying them. These are the words of Christ himself. Back in Psalm 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently. Who could say that in truth and in sincerity but Jesus Christ? John 1 says, In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Way back in the beginning of eternity, before time existed, between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, a covenant was made. A purpose was ordered that one day in time it should come to pass. And the Lord says, I waited patiently. And then he created Adam. He formed him from the dust of the ground. He breathed life into his nostrils. And Adam fell. Just like God knew he would. And man fell in Adam. And it was 4,000 years before he would come here, before Christ would come here and physically in the flesh redeem Adam back to his spiritual state with God. And our Lord said, I waited patiently. Then he came. He was born. And they called his name Emmanuel, because God was with us. The thought is amazing. It's so amazing to think that toddler that walked around Joseph and Mary's house, that was God. That was the highest God. He never cried. He never acted like he needed anything. He was so patient. Mary pondered all of that. That's what the Scripture says. She kept all those things in her heart. And aside from his birth and the time that he was 12 years old, astounding those teachers in the temple, there's nothing written about him until the age of 30. 30 years old. Everything we know about him is over a span of 3 years, just a little more than 3 years. Think of everything he did in that 30 years before that. If it was all written down, the Scripture says the world could not contain the books that were written. That was God. That was God. But he didn't begin his ministry until he was 30 years old. He didn't start preaching until he was 30 years old. God said, I waited patiently. I waited patiently. Then when the time came for him to accomplish his mission, and they laid him in a tomb, and he became separated from God, and his soul became an offering for sin. This is what he cried to his Father. In Psalm 40, verse 12, it says, innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, Aha. While he laid there in the depths of wrath, at the bottom of judgment for 3 days, crying, Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. While he cried for 3 days, this is what he said. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. It is finished. It is finished. I waited patiently. Now it is finished. Redemption is accomplished. Salvation is secured. In verse 16, it says, Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. My fallen have been brought back to God. Turn with me over to Romans 8. If you have your Bibles open, go with me to Romans chapter 8. Verse 16 says, The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 29 says, For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 32 says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" All things. Through his death, we have been made adopted brothers to him, joint heirs. And look at what he has to say about that back in our text. This is precious. Psalm 40, verse 5, he says, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward." Usward. He includes himself in the usward. "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to me and my brethren." To me and my bride, to me and my friend, usward. "They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." God the Father thinks on God the Son. He is daily his delight. And if we're in his Son, while God the Father thinks on him, God the Father thinks on us. He thinks on all those who are in Christ. Usward. Verse 6 says, "Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. The blood of bulls, the blood of goats, the blood of lambs, the blood of doves, they couldn't get the job done. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. I hear what you're requiring. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required." Men sacrificed and they sacrificed and they sacrificed, trying to make atonement for their souls. But judgment just could not be met. The law just could not be satisfied. Verse 7 says, "Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me." What's the volume of this book about? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you want to know what this whole book is about, here's the answer. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Every passage, every text, what is it saying? What does it mean? What is the mystery in it? Here's the answer. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you want to know the truth of a scripture, look for Jesus Christ and Him crucified in it. You'll find the meaning. Go with me over to John chapter 4. John 4 verse 34 says, "Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." That's it. That's what this book is about. That's exactly what the whole book is about. Over in John chapter 6, verse 38 says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Christ came here for one purpose, one mission, to be the atonement, to be the appeasement that sacrifices and offerings could never be. That's why He came. That's why He came. Look at Luke chapter 9 with me. Luke 9 verse 28 says, "And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, He took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as He prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered, and His raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with Him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. The Father said, this is my will. You go accomplish death for them. This is my will. Well, back over in our text, in Psalm 40, our Lord says in verse 8, I delight to do thy will. O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. He delighted to do that. He delighted. Hebrews 12:2 says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Our Lord says in verse 9, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not refrained my words. His words are his righteousness. He said, I have preached righteousness. His words are what we preach. The only reason we know about his glorious gospel is because he told us. He didn't hide it from us. Look at verse 10. He says, I have not hid. This gospel is a mystery. Paul called it the mystery of godliness. But it's a mystery that hasn't been hid. The true message of Christ is a secret. The Lord said to a man named Manoah, why do you ask for my name, seeing it is a secret? It's a secret. But it's a secret that has been declared unto all the world. Until God gives a man or a woman eyes to see, it remains a secret, though. A blind man can't see it. A deaf man can't hear it. Everybody on this earth knows the name Jesus. Every single person. But the Lord himself said, no man knows the Son but the Father. And nobody knows the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And he says some good news here in verse 10. He says, I have not hid, number one, thy righteousness. What is the righteousness of God? What is the righteousness of God? It's Jesus Christ. We're not trying to establish our own righteousness, are we? We hunger and thirst after thy righteousness. Thanks be to God, he didn't hide that from us. He didn't hide the righteousness of Christ from us. He says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness. What is the faithfulness of God? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the faithfulness of God. Turn with me over to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations 3 verse 22 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. In him. In him. Our Lord said back in Psalm 40, verse 10, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. What is the salvation of God? It's Jesus Christ. He is the salvation of God. Lamentations 3 verse 26 says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He is my salvation. Psalm 40 verse 10 says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness. What is the loving kindness of God? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the loving kindness of God. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Lay down his life for his friend. Back over in Psalm 40 verse 10 says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth. From the great congregation. What is the truth of God? What is the truth? Is anybody looking for the truth? When it comes to this thing of religion, when it comes to this thing of salvation, when people talk about heaven and what is required to enter into heaven, what is the truth? What is the way, the truth, and the life? Our Lord said, I am the truth. I am the truth. Salvation is a person. Righteousness is a person. Faithfulness is a person. Loving kindness is a person. Truth is a person. Jesus Christ is that person. Paul said, oh, that I might know thee. Our Lord told the Father, this is life eternal, that they might know thee. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Thanks be to God, he has not hid the truth from us. Unworthy sinners. We don't deserve his truth. We deserve an eternity of punishment for our wickedness and our evil, vile sin. That's what we deserve. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, he has quickened us together with Christ. Do you know that if you know Christ, you know all you need to know? Do you know that Christ is all? If you have Christ, you have all you need to have? The answer is not in the mind. It's not in doctrine. It's not in theology. The answer is in a person. The answer is in a person. Christ is that person. Oh, may we say, as Psalm 40 verse 11 says, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Who is the loving kindness of God? Who is the truth of God? It's Christ. Who is the mercy of God? It's Christ. Oh, Lord, let him preserve me. Let him preserve me. If I'm going to be preserved, it's only going to be in Christ. If God the Father preserves him, then God is going to preserve us because we're going to be in Christ. That's our only hope, is being in Christ. Verse 16 says, Psalm 40 verse 16, it says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Who is the salvation? Christ. Let such as love Christ say continually, the Lord be magnified. The Lord be magnified. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. And look at what great things He has done for me. That's the only thing a sinner can say. That's the only message a sinner can preach. Every time the Lord would heal somebody, He would tell them, now you go tell how great things the Lord hath done for you. Great things. That's all we can tell. How great things He has done for me. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Because I was dead, and my Lord spake these words for me. Now these are the words of Christ. These are the words of David. These are the words of me. Psalm 40, verse 17. Christ spake these words for me. As He bore my sin, as He paid my debt, as He laid in that tomb for me. This is what He said. Because of that, this is what I say. Psalm 40, verse 17. I am poor and needy. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Our Lord said, I am the man that hath seen affliction. He saw affliction for us. In His affliction, He prayed that prayer for us. And the Scripture says, the prayer of a righteous man, the prayer of the righteous man availeth much. God's going to answer his prayer. He's going to answer his prayer. And He said, I pray for them. I'm poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Because God answered his prayer. In him, God is going to answer my prayer. God is going to answer the prayer of every sinner that he has chosen to put in Christ. In Christ. Oh, may the Lord make these words our words. May the Lord cause us to cling to these words and hope in these words. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless His Word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.